everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield. I'm one of the hosts of Inspire Indeed, where we discuss community issues and hear from the nonprofits and local leaders who are working to address them. And hopefully, you'll be inspired to think about how you're making a difference with your deeds. This month, my co-hosts Mark Hickman and Alan Hudson and I are exploring the idea of creating community by redefining and transforming community spaces. We've had great conversations with community leaders like Christina Ramirez at the Broad Rock Public Library, Betsy Hart at Robinson Theater Community Arts Center, and some folks that are behind the beautiful RVA Collaborative, creating sustainable green space in Richmond. Today, we get to continue thinking about transforming community spaces with a nonprofit that is focused on this work, the Storefront for Community Design. The Storefront works with homeowners, organizations, and businesses to encourage quality community development and to strengthen the legacy of urban neighborhoods through education, advocacy, and participation. Storefront plays a unique role in Richmond by creating space to nurture civic engagement in a variety of ways. I'm happy to introduce you to Ryan Wren, Storefront for Community Design's Executive Director, who's here to tell you all about their exciting work. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks, Elaine. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Well, first, Ryan, why don't you tell us a little bit about why Storefront for Community Design got started?
Sure. Well, the idea to have a community design center in the city of Richmond has been around for decades through VCU's Urban Planning School, through a number of the architecture firms in town, and through some city council representatives. Storefront actually officially started in 2011 with some pressure from Councilwoman Cynthia Newbill, who wanted to make design more accessible for members of her community and her constituency that lived in old and historic districts and were looking to make updates to their houses and had a long process to go through in order to make those things fit with the Commission for Architectural Review and city processes. So in 2011, Cynthia really gave us the push to get off the ground, and we've been around ever since.
Great. So Storefront really, it started as a focus on helping individual homeowners.
Correct. And business owners.
And business owners as well, with a focus on historic neighborhoods. But I understand it's a lot more than that now, correct?
It is. Right now, we have four different programs that we're running. One of them is still this design plan program that it was started on, where anyone can access the services of a professional designer or architect by coming into Storefront and setting up an appointment. And we provide these services pro bono for anyone in the city of Richmond who's looking to make any sort of design improvement to their home, business, or organization. And this ranges from graphic design all the way to architecture and facade improvement. So it pretty much crosses the gamut.
So how do you provide those services pro bono?
So we have wonderful volunteerism in Richmond, as you probably know. And we have professionals in many different fields who choose to volunteer their time to provide professional expertise to individuals. So they will donate an hour or two of time to get projects started for folks or get them thinking about things in ways that maybe they hadn't thought about them before. So we get grant support from the city and from a number of other organizations and funders who allow us to provide this service pro bono.
Great. And a big part of that is the volunteers. So what sorts of expertise are you looking for in your volunteers?
With our volunteers, we have a lot of architects and graphic designers and interior designers who help us on a daily basis. But really anybody who's interested in anything ranging from design to facilitation and being a part of a community meeting and helping people talk about what's going on in their neighborhoods. So from our volunteers, if you're a professional, that's helpful for us to get some sketches across. But if you have good ideas about what makes Richmond better and are willing to listen and facilitate a conversation, that's also helpful for us.
You can help facilitate conversations beyond just an individual business or homeowner, but looking at a whole neighborhood or a whole community.
Correct. Our second program, and the one that's taking up most of the time right now at Storefront, is our community workshop series. So we provide facilitation services and engagement services for communities who are looking for improvements in their neighborhood, or if they want a new vision, or they're worried how the streetscape might change, or if there's a big development project maybe underway. At the request of neighborhoods or members of city council, we come into communities and help them design a process that makes sense for their community, and then walk through that process with them so they can get public information and public engagement data that they can use to advocate for certain types of things to happen in their neighborhood, or to go to city council or other departments within the city and say, this is the plan that we'd like to see come to fruition in our neighborhood. So we help with that process.
Really listening to local voices and people that will be directly impacted by whatever that redevelopment or community development change might be.
Absolutely. And it's really trying to be at the grassroots level and bringing in expert volunteers who can provide the perspective and expertise to answer the questions that maybe, you know, Joe homeowner might not know, or people who live in a neighborhood might not realize the impact that certain types of development could have or changes to the streetscape might have.
That's true. And also expertise to understand sort of the way that the system works and all of the potential red tape that you may need to get through in order to make a change.
Absolutely. And really, the city has been a great partner with us. And most of the workshops that we do, they're representatives from all of the departments in the city that could be impacted by changes there. And they're there to answer questions and they're there to be of assistance to the neighborhood. And they're very accessible. So really, the city has been a great partner in helping these processes move along in different neighborhoods.
It's reassuring to hear that they've been proactively involved. I mean, initially with some councilwoman representation helping you get going, but sounds like the city's also seeing you as a resource.
Absolutely. And we are not trying to get ahead of the city in terms of things that we're doing, but we're trying to be able to provide some insight and some feedback from the neighborhood level that, frankly, they just don't have time to do sometimes because of all the other things they have going on. So we're trying to support different types of activities happening around the city with all the expert voices at the table.
So how does a group come to Storefront for Community Design to request assistance?
They can walk right in the front door. We're at 205 East Broad Street near the corner of 2nd and Broad in downtown. And we also have a location at 1001 North 25th Street up in North Churchill. And you can walk in the door and come say hi and tell us a little bit about your neighborhood. Or you can find us online at our website, storefrontrichmond.org. And there are fillable applications online. You can submit an application to host a discussion or for a design plan from any of the things that we've talked about today. Or email or call us.
Great. Now, it sounds like you potentially could have a lot of different ideas or projects coming to you requesting assistance. Do you all have a system of prioritizing? Like, do you focus on particular neighborhoods or particular issue areas in making those decisions?
We have a very knowledgeable board of directors, and we have a programs committee that really sifts through the different requests that come our way and make sure they meet up with our mission and with our needs and wants to look at neighborhoods that really can't afford to have these types of activities by a private professional come in. So we want to make sure that we're providing service to folks who otherwise wouldn't be able to access that service first. But our doors are open to everybody.
So you're not redesigning a new hardscape for somebody who already has a nice patio in their backyard. You're really looking at underserved communities, neighborhoods that really don't have access otherwise.
That's the primary focus. But again, our doors are open to everybody. So sometimes it might take a little bit longer for someone who needs that hardscape redesign, but we will put them in the system as well. And we really want to be accessible to every citizen of the city of Richmond.
Well, that's good to know. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're talking with Ryan Wren, Executive Director of the Storefront for Community Design here in Richmond. Ryan, where again, you just mentioned the website. Where can people go to learn more about Storefront?
Storefrontrichmond.org.
Great. Thank you. Now, why don't you share a little bit more about what you're focused on? You mentioned you have four programs, and you talked about two. What are the others?
The other two are, one is design education, and it's an opportunity for different professionals or individuals to come in and learn and talk about design. So we've done a series with the Better Housing Coalition on how to make your house work for you. And we've also hosted an urban film series to look at city issues, and urban design walks around the city that kind of focus in on different elements of design in different neighborhoods with some experts and neighborhood experts sharing the story of different parts of the city. And that's part of our design education piece. And our fourth piece is the Mob Studio. So if you've seen any logos or heard about this Mob thing, the Mob thing stands for Middle of Broad. It's quite simple.
Okay.
But it's the Mob. And the Mob is a program that has come out of VCU Arts with some very involved and creative faculty from the departments of fashion design, graphic design, and interior design. And each semester, 24 VCU Arts students join the Mob and become participants in this community-engaged design process. So they actually work on design plans that come into Storefront that the faculty decides meet their curriculum as teams and provide actual materials and outcomes for community clients throughout the city of Richmond each semester.
So they're assigned to those that are putting requests into Storefront.
Correct. That's how our collaboration works. So they can apply directly to be a part of the MOB program, or some of our individual design plan applicants seem like good candidates for a whole semester's worth of involvement and ideation and creation. So those clients move over to work with MOB students, and these are really talented kids from VCU.
Great. Now, is there an actual MOB studio? It's called MOB Studio. Is there an actual studio?
There is, at 205 East Broad, near the corner of 2nd and Broad downtown. There's a great creative studio space that I encourage anybody who's walking by to stop in. Come say hi to us and check out the studio space. It's a really nice environment. And a lot of people say when they walk in, it's like something they've never experienced. So come experience it if you're downtown.
Okay. That sounds like a great idea. Now, I understand that you're also working on some work related to the city stadium site, doing some focused outreach and involvement there. Can you tell us a little bit about what that involves?
Sure. So some of your listeners might remember a few years back, a developer came in and proposed some options for what could be done at the city stadium site, kind of apropos of nothing, and decided that this could be a good plan for development at this site without really engaging any of the surrounding residents.
And when you say city stadium, can you give listeners a sense of where that is for those who may not be familiar?
Sure. So city stadium is near Carytown. It's just south of Carytown, and it's near the Carillon neighborhoods and Bird Park. So it's the stadium where the University of Richmond football team played for many years before they built an on-campus stadium, and where the Kickers still play some games, and there are other high school football games there as well.
So, but as U of R built out their new infrastructure, there's not as much use going on there. It's not as heavily used, although it's still being used.
Yes. Fairly often, and people run in the stadium fairly often as well. It is being used, but it's underutilized, and it's a piece of property that the city owns and is looking at as a potential opportunity for something different. The stadium is many, many years old. I don't remember exactly how many, but it's really not in very good condition in its current state. So there have been some options floated by private developers that could take place there that really kind of ruffled some feathers, and rightly so, in the community, because their voices really weren't taken into consideration. So then councilperson Marty Jewell decided to go to council and ask for a couple of studies to be done on the site. And those studies have started to take shape. And before they're completed, we were approached by the neighborhoods surrounding the stadium and councilperson Agilesto to come in and have an open and honest public engagement process with the surrounding communities so they could give their feedback before the, quote, highest and best use of the stadium was determined by our Department of Economic and Community Development.
So, wow, that sounds like a lot of work. So how does that actually take place when Storefront comes in to design bringing folks together? What does that look like?
Well, there's some really great leaders in these neighborhoods, and they're the ones driving this process, as it should be. So we were approached by the leaders of the City Stadium neighborhood, the neighborhood that actually surrounds the stadium on that parcel, and the leaders of the Carillon neighborhood, or Carillon Civic Association. And I apologize if I've gotten the Civic Association's name wrong. To come to some of their meetings and talk about what a public engagement process could look like. And they decided that they didn't want this to be run by anyone that had a stake in the game. And Storefront doesn't, except that we want their voices to be heard. So we basically designed a process with the community that's three steps. The first step is ongoing right now. It's a community survey. So we have neighborhood leaders and block captains from the neighborhood surrounding the stadium disseminating both an online and paper survey door-to-door and to their neighbors to get initial feedback. It's about 9 questions relating to the 2 studies that are underway and have been completed by a sports use study and a residential use study, asking for input on those. Then we'll host 2 workshop meetings coming up at the end of this month and the start of March, where community members are encouraged to come and hear about the 2 studies that are underway and provide feedback. And we'll collect that feedback. And then third, we'll have open day voting sessions where we have facilities reserved in the neighborhood for an entire block of time, 4 to 6 hours throughout a day, where people can stop by at their convenience. And based on the neighborhood they live in, they'll be given a set of dots that are a certain color. And they'll be able to go around the room and select their priorities for the different subject areas that we've talked about so that we can distill which neighborhoods have which priorities of use for the site, what their biggest questions and concerns are, and what they'd like to see happen going forward. So it's a pretty involved process, but one that the community seems comfortable with and going forward to really get the public opinion that and their opinions back to the city before they make decisions on how the property is used.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're going through many different steps to ensure that there's authentic involvement in a lot of different ways. I mean, surveys, door-to-door, in-person meetings, relying on the leadership as well to share voices of their neighbors too.
Absolutely. And these meetings, they will be open to the public, but we really encourage the folks most directly impacted by the stadium to redevelopment to participate, because we really want to know those folks whose neighborhood you'll be driving through, whatever happens at that site, what their opinions are on mm-hmm. what goes on there.
So that's your priority, but what happens at City Stadium impacts, you could be living in Chesterfield County and be impacted by what goes on there because you're a Kickers fan, or
Absolutely.
You do your runs starting at that site. So really anybody in the community has a stake in what's going on there.
And everybody's welcome to participate in these meetings and in the voting process when we come down. And the reason why we've done it geographically is because, again, direct impact, day-to-day impact, happens geographically to those closest to the neighborhood. So the Rossay Circle neighborhood, the City Stadium neighborhood, the Caroline neighborhood, and the South of Carytown neighborhood are the ones who are most directly impacted on a day-to-day basis.
No doubt about it. Right. So it sounds like you've got a lot of ways for people to get involved. And again, if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Ryan Wren of the Storefront for Community Design here on Inspire Indeed. And we've been discussing some of the work that Storefront's doing related to the City Stadium site. Where do you recommend, Ryan, people go to get more information on this and your work?
Well, right now we're working on a really detailed, updated post for our website that'll have all of the details here. So again, our website's probably the best information. Though if you do live in one of the neighborhoods surrounding the stadium, get in touch with your civic association because they have a lot of information about this process. And they also have paper copies of this survey as well that you can access.
Wow, this sounds like a great great service that the Storefront for Community Design is providing to the neighborhood and really a community asset that all of us benefit from. City Stadium can be used in so many different ways, and it would really be a great opportunity for people to get involved and be sure that it's used to the best and highest use.
Correct. And we, like we said, we really encourage involvement, and it's the only way that the city will have and public information to go off of what the people want to see there. So mm-hmm. it's a way to have a different type of conversation about development and about use of a site that doesn't feel one-sided.
Right, yeah, and including all of the voices. And what's your website one more time?
It's storefrontrichmond.org.
Storefrontrichmond.org, great. Now, moving on to, I know Storefront for Community Design is involved in lots of different things, City Stadium site just being one of them. And you also recently wrote an article in Style about the Broad Street Block Blitz, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That was more of a let's go out and do something today activity. And we like to do those types of things as well. Instead of sitting around tables and talking about things, when we have power and we have tools at our disposal, we should just go out and do the things we'd like to see done to make our community better. And the Block Blitz was kind of one of those things coming to fruition. So the Downtown Neighborhood Association, merchants along Broad Street and Grace Street, had been meeting for a while, talking about what can we do in the Arts and Cultural District to really bridge this gap of folks who come and stay at the Marriott and the Hilton and walk out of their hotel and might not, for whatever reason, make their way all the way down to the western end of the Arts and Cultural District, where most of the galleries are. So we talked about a number of different strategies, and then we went and spoke with all the business owners on that block and said, what is it that you need here? What's missing? And we're able to pull together a strategy and get the permission of business owners, work with designers, developers, architects, to look at different tools at our disposal to go in and make some facade improvements and clean out store windows and prepare buildings for potential pop-ups or new tenants and just have a volunteerism day that gave that block a little bit of love.
It polished it up a little bit.
Just polish it up a little bit. It's not an overhaul, but it was something to show that the community does care. And what was great to see is that the business owners were out there too. So Sonny of Sonny Menswear in his Sunday best after church was out there with a solo cup full of black paint at his neighbor's building, touching up the trim over there because he wanted to be a part of this, just like most of the other business owners did as well. So it's a community building activity and one that shows that we care about the city.
I love that it was community building really involving, again, like it sounds like a lot of your core philosophy involving the people that are going to be impacted.
Absolutely. And that's really important in order to prolong that buy-in and to have that be something that's meaningful for the long run.
So they'll keep it up and keep polishing it up.
Absolutely.
Who are some of the other partners that came in to make that happen?
I mean, without Scott Garnett of the Downtown Neighborhood Association, Mark Ollinger, and the planning department at the City of Richmond, it really wouldn't have been possible. And we had a great volunteer coordinator, Tyler King, who is now part of storefront staff. Welcome, Tyler, who really kind of put all of this in motion and developed all of the materials we needed to spec each building, to look at the things that could be done in a day. And Scott Garnett brought in a lot of the resources that he had connections to get some professional painters in and some contractors in to help with some of the more detailed work that needed to be done. So it was a real community effort, but without Scott, Mark Ollinger at the city and planning, and without Tyler, it really
wouldn't
have
happened. Pulling it all together, yeah. Well, it does take somebody to be at the hub of all of those different partners coming together to pull it all together and make it successful. And it sounds like it was a great success, so congratulations.
Thank you. We had a good time.
Yeah. So, and like you said, it's a great way to make that bridge, that gap down on Broad Street. When you do come out of the hotels down there, there are a few blocks of not as much going on before you get to storefront.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we're right in the middle of it,
yeah.
Second and Broad, of a lot of the vacancies that are down there.
Mm-hmm.
We're hopeful that those things will continue to turn around as the big bank building is now under renovation for more than 200 units down there that will bring new activity to the street level. But on the 300 block of East Broad, why we decided to focus there is that most of those buildings have really good businesses in them, and it's one of our busiest blocks in the entire city. And it might be underappreciated by a lot of folks, but it's appreciated by a lot of folks. And it's a good place for a number of people to do business. And everyone who ever has ridden a city bus has probably been by that block because
That's right.
every bus goes by there.
That's right. Yeah, it's central. There's no doubt about it. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. Today, we're talking about the importance of design as we look at redevelopment of our community assets. Ryan Rinn of the Storefront for Community Design is here today. And Ryan, remind us where we can go to learn more about Storefront's work.
Sure. The easiest way to do that is to go to storefrontrichmond.org.
Great. Now, are there some other upcoming events where people can get engaged with Storefront?
Sure. There's always an opportunity to get engaged. A good way to see the things that are going on is to come to First Friday, come to the Art Walk, and venture all the way down to the furthest eastern point where we are of the Art Walk, and just come take a stroll through that location and see what's there. You'll get a sense of the different types of projects that we are undertaking right now. We always have an opportunity on our website with the latest volunteer opportunities, whether those are individuals who need assistance with their business or design, or whether that's an upcoming community workshop. And we keep those up to date on our Facebook account and on our website.
And also, if you have an idea of some change that you want to see in your community, or maybe on your block, come to Storefront, right?
Yeah, come see us.
Now, in your work there, Ryan, you've been there for, sounds like not that long, right?
Not too long, just since May of 2013.
Yeah, so less than a year. And mm-hmm. Storefront itself has been around just for a couple years longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
But in your time there, what has been the most surprising thing for you in your experience?
I wasn't surprised that the city of Richmond has many residents who care about their city. But I was surprised at how much they're willing to give and to volunteer and give of their time and talents for those visions that they have. And I really have seen this resurgence, and I'm not a native Richmonder, but Richmond is home. I've been here 14 years, and I've really seen this resurgence of activity and interest and drive and people not just wanting to talk, but to do. And seeing that manifest at Storefront and throughout the nonprofit community in the last 3 or 4 years has just been wonderful. And surprising, but a good surprise.
Definitely. Yeah, I think you're right. There is a certain energy in the air right now where people are tired of talking and getting ready to do.
Exactly. And that's inspiring. And I think it allows for anyone else who has an idea that they haven't quite acted on to feel comfortable doing that. So it creates a better environment for more of that to happen.
Certainly. And Storefront for Community Design is definitely providing that place where people can come together to talk about those ideas, as well as find some expertise to guide your ideas and make it from dreams into action.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can help guide you through some of the processes that take a little bit of time and a little bit of know-how. And that's something that we're happy to provide to the community.
Well, that's wonderful to have you as a resource. Well, we're already out of time for our conversation today. I know time has flown by. So I just want to say thank you so much, Ryan, for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a great conversation. And you've been listening to Ryan Wren of the Storefront for Community Design. And you can learn more about them at their website, which is storefrontrichmond.org. And as always, I'm thankful to my fellow volunteers here at WRIR, people like Brittany Tracy, who make sure that we keep the Inspire Indeed blog up to date at inspireindeed.blogspot.com. And thanks to my Inspire Indeed co-hosts, Alan Hudson and Mark Hickman. If you want to join us as a volunteer or make a contribution to the station, just go to WRIR.org to learn how you can partner with us. We definitely rely on the support of our listeners and underwriters to ensure we have this great place for local community radio. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and as I mentioned, you've been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community issues through the lens of nonprofits and changemakers who are working to make a difference. Thanks for tuning in today, and I hope you're inspired to keep making a difference with your deeds.